You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
As you listen to me today, you're probably surrounded by things that are of some importance to you.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
You sent your Son to a cross for us and raised him from the dead. With faith in him, set our hearts on things above, the things that do not perish. Help us to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal. Set our hearts on the hope of life in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen. Today, I shall talk to you about something that may be very close to your heart. What you have in your billfold, your wallet, your bank account, or your will. Contrary to what some of you may think at this moment, I am not asking for your money. I don't mind asking people to give their money to a good cause, but that's not what I'm talking about right now. I'm talking to you about you and your money, you and your possessions. You and real life for you. Our Lord did not hesitate to talk to people about money. With him, money was not a private subject that you don't talk about. He talked about it often, in all likelihood just because people ordinarily don't want to talk about it. Money is just too close to their hearts to talk about openly. He talked about it openly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's straight talk from the Lord of heaven and earth. No matter where a man carries his wallet or a woman her purse, the relationship between what is in those leather or plastic containers, whether cash or credit cards, is probably a lot closer to their hearts than the position of the man's pocket would indicate, or the leather strap over the woman's arm or shoulder holding that purse could possibly tell you. Anything that close to the hearts of people needs to be looked at clearly and to be talked about openly. Our Lord was not asking people for their money. You know it and I know it. The very thought is preposterous that he would need to ask people for money when he could make bread out of stones, out of nothing for that matter. Jesus Christ was simply recalling people to the realities of life when he talked to them about the rust-proof possessions and moth-proof billfolds. That's not the kind of talk people generally like to hear, but it's absolutely necessary in a world where things become gods. Possessions acquire a mystique akin to worship, and the hearts of people become fixed on stuff that moth and rust can consume, or that thieves, simply by breaking in, can pack up and cart off. Jesus Christ was not an aesthetic and idealistic dreamer, as some people have tried to make him out to be. He never said that things are of no importance at all. After all, those things were made by God, or were fashioned from things made by God. He did not despise the material world. What he did was to discredit that materialism which causes people to fix their hearts on material things, to focus their affections and to pin their hopes on the acquisition and possession of material things. That's not life, he said. A man's life does not depend on the number of things he acquires or possesses. Things have their place, an important place. As I am talking to you today, I'm surrounded by a lot of expensive equipment for which generous people like you contributed some of their things so that the good news of Jesus Christ might go out to people all over the world. Earl Brickett, our engineer, works at keeping those things in good shape. He keeps on improving them with new things that are being developed all the time by gifted and hard-working people to make the production and recording of sound more true to life, so to speak. But our hearts are not set on things. When they wear out, as things do, or even if suddenly something should happen to them to destroy their usefulness, neither our lives nor the life of this broadcast will come to an end. Somehow, somewhere, other things will be found to do what has to be done. Because we are not laying up for ourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. We are engaged in the big enterprise of laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves cannot break in and steal. As you listen to me today, you are probably surrounded by things that are of some importance to you. You have a roof over your head, or you're riding along in your car. You're sitting in your living room or in a college dormitory. You may or you may not own all of the things around you, but they are important to you. If you own them, you may have paid a big price for them. If you paid a big price for them, you may derive a warm satisfaction from the comfort and convenience they give you. Even that comfort and convenience are not life, said Jesus Christ. Set your heart on those things or on the comfort and convenience they give you, and one day you're going to have a rude awakening. That's not life. That's not where it's at. Christ's men kept repeating what he said. Don't set your affections on things below, but on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. When they said that, they were simply repeating what he had said. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. It's almost amusing when you think about it that the financial pages of newspapers throughout the world are always talking about securities. Anybody who deals in securities, whether selling or buying them, knows how insecure they are. Those securities are just things, mostly a piece of paper representing things, or maybe even a piece of paper that hasn't got anything behind it at all. There's a lot of moth and rust in that game. And once in a while, even a few thieves. People in financial institutions holding supposedly foolproof securities can tell you all about it. Let no one say that the Lord was criticizing thrift and saving up for a rainy day. What he was criticizing was making things of any kind your treasure, the stuff on which you set your heart, which you make your life. That's foolish, he said. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus Christ obviously had a clear perspective on life. It made him say what he did. It made him do what he did. He simply gave his life for the life of the world. He suffered and died, as people suffer and die. Only a mighty good man, said St. Paul, would give his life for another good man, a good friend, a good member of his family. The remarkable thing about Jesus Christ is that while we were yet sinners, still hostile to God, Christ died for us. This is love, said St. John. Not so much that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his only Son to be a sacrifice for our sins. This really happened, my friends, in our history. It's the act of one man, God's chosen man, God's unique and eternal Son, himself following out to its own great conclusion what he himself had said. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our Lord said that in the midst of a number of other important things he had to tell his disciples. He had taught them how to pray to God. That sounds strange in a secular age, which has been taught to try with might and main to make it on its own. He taught people to pray, Our Father, you who are in heaven, let your name be holy among us. Let your kingdom come among us. Let your will be done among us on earth, as it most surely is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. He just taught his men to think of worrying about the future as the kind of foolishness it really is. Not one of us is in complete control of his destiny anyway. God rules the world and controls it. It's ridiculous to plan a future without God. It's just as ridiculous to try to build up treasures on which your whole life depends when everybody knows that those treasures are deteriorating the moment you begin to acquire them and can disappear overnight. It's a kind of thievery that such treasure attracts. There's only one real treasure, the one you have with God. That's treasure in heaven. That does not deteriorate. It is, to quote one of Christ's men, the hope laid up for you in heaven. Look not, he added, to the things which are temporal, but to the things which are eternal. This is life. Believe it or not, there's life here and now. The treasure is real. It won't just become real later on. It's real here and now. It's life here and now. This is life, to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. To put your treasure there, because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Now, this is life with faith in God. Faith commits everything to him, the past, the present, and the future. It takes faith to accept the forgiveness of God for the past. It takes faith to believe that God can forgive your sins, everything that has alienated you from God and keeps you from loving him. It takes faith that God does forgive your sins for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, because Jesus really died for your sins. It takes faith to live a new life with confidence in God and courage to love instead of trying to get even. It takes faith in God to have hope, hope in God, expecting God to fulfill his promise with a new unfolding of life when the treasures of heaven will be disclosed as the real treasures they are. It takes faith to believe Christ, follow Christ, and to love Christ. It takes faith to believe Christ enough, to love Christ enough, to follow Christ enough to go with him when he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's life, my friend. That's it. That's where it's at. You and I know he's right. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure is in that moth-eaten billfold of yours, that's where your heart will be also. If your treasure is in that purse whose strap a thief can simply snip and run off, that's where your heart will be also. If your treasure is in heaven, that's where your heart will be also. It takes faith. Faith from the bottom of your heart. Faith full and free to go with Christ and have life, real life. The good news of Christ, his death and his resurrection from the dead, is what brings people to faith. It always has, and it always will. That's why we always tell people about Jesus Christ. You don't have to believe us, believe him. Don't follow us, follow him. In him is life, and his life is the light for all humanity. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. His resurrection is the foundation of all Christian faith. It's the beginning of all joy. He's alive, and now you can begin to live. By resurrection from the dead, God declared his Son to be the Son of God with power. By resurrection from the dead, Christ declares God's forgiveness is real for you. By resurrection from the dead, Christ lives to give you power to live. Thanks be to God, said St. Paul, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul went on to say to people who have to live their lives right here and now, therefore, because Christ rose from the dead, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work the Lord gives you to do, knowing that in your Lord your labor is not in vain. Now, concerning the contribution I've been talking to you about, the collection for the saints, the hope of the saints, lay something aside every week and store it up as God has prospered you so that you may have some contributions ready when I come. I will send some people to take these contributions to the people who are in need in Jerusalem. If it seems advisable, I'll go myself, and they'll go along with me. The Lord had a healthy respect for things, and so did his people. There's nothing bad about money, as there's nothing bad about any of the other things with which God prospers people. There's nothing bad about things, unless you set your heart upon them. There's nothing bad about your things when your treasure is not in those things, but in the hope laid up for you in heaven. That new perspective gives you a new look at things and a new life right here and now. What a life to live with faith in God and with love toward the Lord Jesus Christ. What a life to be able to take things with thanksgiving and to give things with cheerfulness of spirit. What a life to see things as they are and to know God as he is. What a life to have your heart in the right place. Where your treasure is, my friend, there will your heart be also. Amen.